Tom Brady, not opposed to a return to the NFL in talking with famous barber Vic Blends. He had a conversation with Vic that was candid, and it was something that was it was more convincing than a random, like, hey, Tom, would you ever consider a return to football? I don't know. Anything's possible. Like, he said a couple things that were pretty intense and makes you think that if he got a call, he would return to football. The one thing about retired players is once there's a seed planted of any sort of doubt, a return is so likely. And he keeps in such good shape. He said, I'm always going to be in good shape. I can always throw a football. I know a lot of people are going to say this is a pipe dream. This is an absolute joke. Why are we even talking about this? For some reason, this irks people. It drives people nuts. They hate hearing about it. It definitely bothers more people than it doesn't. But you can say what you want. There's still a strong possibility. Now, ownership of an NFL team or part ownership could be a problem. He emphasizes that. We'll talk about this in a second. We also got Nick Chubb, reconstruction of the contract. We've got Rashee Rice news. We're going to break that down. We got more to discuss. The Fantasy Football Show begins right now.
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios, it's the Fantasy Football Show. Live! Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Smitty is also live whenever news breaks.
From the FantasyFootballShow.com news desk, here is your breaking news.
A lot of people get really, really upset at this type of content and news. Tom Brady, give it up. He's not coming back. I don't know what it is. I think most of the negative comments are driven by rivalry, hatred for Tom Brady. And it's so loud. You think that's the way a lot of people think. But Tom Brady was asked by Vic Blends, who was giving him a haircut. Vic Blends is a very famous TikToker. He gives haircuts to people and they tell their life story. Well, he's so big now that he does haircuts with famous people, too. And then they kind of have a candid conversation. Think of it like a mini micro Joe Rogan interview is what Vic Blends does. So it's like the hot sauce interviews, things like that. So Vic Blends does an interview while he's cutting Tom Brady's mane. And he says, okay, if a team calls you, and let's say it's the Niners, and then Tom Brady interrupts him and goes, the Patriots or the Raiders. Like he's giving them teams. And somebody goes down and you get the call. Are you answering the call? And he says, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in an NFL team, but he says, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'm always going to be able to throw the ball. Like MJ coming back, I wouldn't be opposed to it. And he said, I wouldn't be opposed to it twice. And again, this is going to make people very upset. They're going to come out. There's going to be four or five comments that Bill's typing right now. Angry Angus is typing right now. Keyboard Clifford is going nuts right now. This isn't going to happen. Stop talking about it, Smitty. You do what you want, Bill. All I know is Tom Brady said he's not opposed to coming back. And there are several teams that really need a quarterback right now. And what if an injury strikes the Niners? What if an injury strikes a team that's in playoff contention? What if Tom Brady decides he does want to come back and sling the rock a little bit? You don't make comments like this. We learned from Jordan. We've learned from a lot of early retirements. Once that seed of doubt that retirement was the right choice, once that doubt is planted, there's almost no going back. At some point, that player is coming back. He said before he's done, he's not coming back at all. This is a very different answer. And so it's something that I definitely feel like it's interesting to me. And I think Tom Brady maybe is not the same player he used to be. I think none of us are dumb enough to think that that's the case. But he's also a smarter, older quarterback that if he was in the right system, and I think he still does have the arm, believe it or not. This is a very unique individual. This is like the Derrick Henry of quarterbacks in terms of you can't really apply any of the things like age and deterioration of the arm, or he's definitely a different breed. if he came back with his intelligence alone, even with a little bit of a down tick in arm talent, his intelligence alone, his ability to throw the ball, I think his tenacity, his grit, his drive, his determination, which is more than any quarterback we've ever seen in the history of the NFL, because this guy came from nothing. This guy was doubted. He came from nothing. He shouldn't have even been. This is a quarterback that never should have been, and he became the GOAT in the NFL. It would be crazy to go to, as Travis said, Brady's still a top 10 QB in a loaded situation. In a loaded situation, it would be very, very fun to watch him get planted right in there. Now, the Raiders don't, they seem like a pretty good situation, I would say. I don't know that they'll get there with O'Connell, though. They could. I don't hate O'Connell. I actually liked O'Connell a lot last year. He was a preseason darling. But it's hard to know. There's Jeff Tebow back in the building after getting hung up on last night. Tebow to the moon. I don't know the Raiders. I don't know if the Raiders will be where they need to be, though, with O'Connell. You know, and if they bring in Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, we want that quarterback to thrive. So we don't want Tom Brady going there. So the Raiders are a tough situation. If O'Connell can over-deliver Minshew even, I guess, right? If Minshew can over-deliver and this team can get up to a 10-win type of environment, and then they need Tom Brady and they call him, then maybe he does go. The Raiders have been kind of an intriguing place for him to gravitate toward in ownership and playing. He really, really likes the idea of Davante Adams, this Raiders organization, where it's going. He wants to be a part of it. He did mention that if he was part owner, would it be a problem? How would that work? Would the NFL allow him to play? Is there a certain percentage of ownership that would require him not to? Can he relinquish it for a little while and then come back to it? I don't know. Those things will have to cross those bridges when they come. But I would say there's a, if I had to throw an arbitrary Smitty guesstimation percentage at this, I would say 50-50. That we see Tom Brady take a snap in 2024. 50-50. That's not 100%. That's not 80%. That is exactly what I just said. It's a coin toss. It's 50-50. And this comes down to situation, injury, how much time he'd have to prepare, how much time he could neglect to put in, because he doesn't want to play in the preseason. He doesn't want to play in August. He doesn't want to play in the offseason. Probably doesn't want to play in week one, week two, week three. This is a scenario that he painted as he steps in and does what MJ did. He said, step in like MJ, play some games and go out on top and finish like that. And if this guy did come back, it would be unreal if he was able to do it with the Super Bowl. If he came back, the amount of haters that are going to say there's no way he's coming back, even though that's a ridiculous statement to make, really. It's ridiculous to say he is coming back, but it's just as ridiculous to say he's not coming back, because he's telling you that he kind of wants to come back. And don't tell me a team won't bring him in, at least one team that needs a quarterback that has enough wins to make the playoffs. Even if it was the Buffalo Bills last year and Josh Allen went down and they're like, man, we're making this playoff run here, bring Brady in. Or if the Raiders, like I said, are in playoff contention, and they certainly could be with defense, even with the Minshew O'Connell situation. Maybe it's just tough, gritty football. It's Amir White to the moon and the Raiders are doing well. The Patriots were his other team he mentioned, but no offense, Travis is in the building. Travis, put your earmuffs on. I don't think this team at the end of the season will be in a contention, especially in their division, that's going to make Tom Brady say, let me step in and save the day, because I don't think the Patriots are going to set this team up properly. If they were going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and they brought in Fields, and I'm not saying you'd want Fields out of there if Brady was, I'm just saying it, like, and then Fields went down, then you'd have a team that was doing well, playing well, fighting for 2024. I feel like the Patriots are not fighting for 2024. So even though Tom Brady is the one that threw out Patriots and Raiders, Niners was thrown out by Vic Blends, giving him a potent situation that if they lost their QB and they said, hey, what would happen if the Niners called And then instead of Tom Brady going, ah, come on, man, he just goes, what about Patriots? What about the Raiders? He just starts throwing, slinging teams at Vic Blends and saying, let's talk about more than just the Niners. And that could have been him trying to change the topic away from the Niners because the Niners have snubbed him. Shanahan has crapped the bed twice, more than twice, getting this guy. This guy wanted to go to San Francisco so bad. It's his boyhood dream to play for the Niners. And Shanahan shut the door on it. Because why? Because he's scared that this guy knows more football than him. And Shanahan needs yes men. He needs quarterbacks that will do what he says. He won't bring in coaches even that know more than him. Like Bill Belichick and any Vrabel and Belichick, he wouldn't dream bringing those two monsters because those guys would challenge his authority and those guys would also put his job on the hot seat if they started to lose. And you've got Vrabel over here commanding men. You've got Belichick over here with the legend of Belichick bringing that to the table. Shanahan won't play that game. And so Shanahan had zero interest in bringing in Tom Brady because Tom Brady knows more ball than anybody. So Shanahan won't go that direction. So when Vic Blend said Shanahan and he quickly goes Patriots or Raiders, maybe that wasn't just him adding on more teams, but him interrupting Vic and saying, how about a team I might actually go to because he feels slighted by the San Francisco 49ers. Now, would he put all that under the rug and come back if the Niners did call him a Purdy, let's say, knock on wood, went down in week 11? I think that maybe he would. I think it all depends. I think he wants to still play for the Niners. I think he feels slighted. That could be corrected in a conversation. But part of me thinks that Shanahan wouldn't even want him to come in. I don't think Shanahan wants this man anywhere near his football team because this man would feel like he's taking control and taking over. Can't wait to see how many people. I don't know why Kyle hit Brady. It's just a mere intimidation, probably. But I can't wait to see how many people come in and say, this isn't happening. This makes me uncomfortable to talk about things that aren't necessarily in the purview of what's going on right now, Smitty. Absolutely makes me sick to my stomach to have this conversation because I don't like Tom Brady. He worked me over for years, so I'm going to pretend this can't happen and throw a bunch of hatred at the screen right now, Smitty. There's no way Tom Brady's coming back. Anybody that says Tom Brady's not coming back, haha, you tell him welcome to the stream, pal. You must be new here. You must be new here. So it will be a fun day if this ever comes to fruition. Again, the things that Tom Brady said, I'm always going to be in good shape. I always be able to throw a football. Like MJ coming back, I would not be opposed to it. Come back, throw a couple, play a couple games. And try and win. I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in an NFL team. So all that is TBA. All that is TBA. Jolt says, I wouldn't want Tom Brady as a 49er fan. That's just, if Brock Purdy went down and you had 10 wins, and this is your attitude, Jolt, you're gonna use non-ball and I would say all heart, but cold heart, cold rivalry feelings of hatred toward Tom Brady to make your decision. Come on, Jolts. You can do better than that, Jolts. You can do better than that. Do better. Do better, Jolts. Brady throwing to JJ. I mean, think about it. What if the Minnesota Vikings just say, look, I know you don't want to come back till midseason, but How about we tell you don't have to do a single thing, which wouldn't necessarily be great for his week one and week two, getting used to the NFL again. But you show up in week one. You show up in week one and you just start slinging footballs to JJ. If Tom Brady was a Minnesota Viking, here's another thing, guys. I'm not trying to say Aaron Rodgers is going to get hurt again. I don't want that. But if the Jets have the team that the Jets have walking into the season, And last year they started off, you know, it was horrible. Like they started to stay afloat, but then there was no attractive landing spot in New York because they weren't going anywhere. But if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy and this team's, you know, got 5 wins, 1 loss, 7 wins, 2 losses, whatever, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, snaps that other Achilles in half, which is something that happens a lot to Achilles recovering players that rush back, and every player rushes back. Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers are both 100% rushing back. Understand me. I know injuries. I know a lot of people claim they know injuries. The Achilles tear is not something you come back from in one calendar year. Unless you're rushing it. It doesn't matter if people say he's on track, he's ahead of schedule. Doesn't matter. That's ahead of schedule on a rush course of action. Rushing yourself back. This is why Achilles injuries in the NFL are tough, and specifically running positions like running back, but really running back more than anything. But quarterback, running back, this is a tough position to come back from because of the planting. You're out there cutting. You're getting hit unexpectedly. You're making these like weird cuts. If you imagine as a running back, you're trying to hit the hole. You're getting hit from all these different directions. And you're firing off that Achilles tendon again unexpectedly, constantly. You're off balance. Boom. Tear the other Achilles tendon. And as I've always told you, when you start wearing down on one knee or one tendon, oftentimes you're wearing down the other. Why is one brake pad down at the point of where you need to replace them when the other one is? Because they wear evenly. And so sometimes with your Achilles tendons, especially, or your patellar tendons, if there's damage to one, there's probably damage to the other because of the way you're maneuvering, the way you're landing, how much force you're putting on your patellar tendon over the course of history. You've made your patellar tendons very injured, and they're hauling a lot of weight because of the way you land, the way you run, the way you jump. Same thing with Achilles tendons. Achilles tendons are just such a tough injury. If Aaron Rodgers goes down with a torn Achilles tendon, and this is a 7-2 team, an 8-3 team, whatever the case may be, and they have something attractive to offer Tom Brady. Hey, Tom, want to walk in and throw a football to Garrett Wilson? And maybe they even draft a wide receiver, or they draft Brock Bowers. Hey, we got the new Rob Gronkowski. His name's Brock Bowers. Hey, we've got an amazing defense. You don't even have to do anything. We'll give you good field position. Hey, the new kickoff rules make it to where you get the ball around the 40 or 50-yard line every time, Tom. This is a short little field for you. You don't even need a 70-yard gun anymore. Who's throwing 60, 70 yards in the NFL anymore? Nobody. How's Joe Milton going to show off his party trick of throwing 70, 80 yards downfield when every team's starting off at the 40-yard line or 50-yard line? This is Tom Brady can throw the distance of the field now. So Tom Brady steps in for a New York Jet football team that has playmakers abound, defense abound, field position every time Tom steps on the field. Tom Brady could win a championship for the New York Jets if he stepped in and played. That would be one simple landing spot they could have a good effect. Other ones that include like Atlanta, if something happened to the same thing, the Achilles of Kirk Cousins. The Rams, I think, are going to be a surprisingly amazing team this year, but Stafford is injury prone. There's a situation. There's a lot of them. Miami Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa, one hit, boom. Buffalo Bills. There's so many landing spots that he could potentially go to that would be very, very interesting. Some say the Cowboys. So we'll see what happens on that. Everybody can say what they want. Haters are going to hate. People are going to pretend they've got a crystal ball. People that act like they should be. Go speak in front of your mom and your dad about what you feel, Jim, who comes in and says, don't listen to this guy. Well, Go tell your mommy and daddy. Maybe they'll listen to you and stop watching this show if it bothers you so much. Here we go with more news. This one right here is pretty interesting. Why? Because it looks like Theodore Teddy Knox was suspended by the Mustang football team, SMU. Cornerback for his involvement in the Rashee Rice collision. Knox was the other driver in the Corvette, which was owned by Rashee Rice. The Lamborghini was leased by Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice was driving the Lambo, and Teddy Knox was driving the Corvette. Knox is a cornerback for SMU. He has been suspended by the Mustang football team. And this is what you expect to happen in the NFL, and it didn't. But this shows an example of what should be happening, and you wonder if it triggers a Kansas City Chief reaction. SMU has been notified. This is by a press release by SMU. SMU has been notified by Dallas police of an arrest warrant for Theodore Teddy Knox, a student athlete on the Mustang football team. Knox has been suspended from the team. SMU takes these allegations seriously. Federal student privacy laws prevent the university from discussing details involving student disciplinary proceedings. This team is taking action like the Chiefs should be taking action. Granted, it's college football versus pro football, but this might open the door to a cry for action by the public. And for everybody saying that this is not a situation where Rashee Rice is going to get off because of all the other situations we've seen where players get off very easily, I think you might be shocked at the way Texas law dictates this one. Because for people that don't know and understand the legal system and how this all goes about for players and in terms of pleas and et cetera, there's no settlement here. Everybody keeps saying he'll just settle and offer them a bunch of money. Those people, I understand where they're coming from, but they don't understand actually how it all works. They're just they're regurgitating something that they read on Twitter or heard. This is not, that's civil. That's the next phase. Civil will be all money, and it'll be what Rashee Rice faces at the next stage of this when the criminal part is all over and the families go after Rashee Rice for financial reasons and financial reasons alone. O.J. Simpson, who passed away today at, 70-whatever, he, after he got done with his criminal part of his case and was not convicted of murder, and I know a lot of people are going to say what they want in here about OJ. Once he was deemed innocent in a court of law, whatever that means, take it how you will. He then went to civil and lost, and is still still owing money to the families involved. And, you know, it's been a whole debacle there. But that civil side is a lot easier to win, and OJ lost. And a lot of people will say he's guilty because clear as day he lost the civil. He just skated by on the criminal. And that we're not going to debate that, okay? However you feel about OJ, you can drop it in the chat. I'm fine with that. I don't mind talking about it, but I'm not going to debate whether he was innocent or guilty here. OJ Simpson was what he was, okay? And he was a great football player, but a very controversial person. But neither here nor there. What I'm trying to emphasize here is that the civil side of the Rashee Rice situation is going to be next, and that will be all financial, and he could get blasted to pieces on that because it's much easier to win, and there's not a whole lot to do. 90% of all civil settles anyway, so it's probably going to be a big chunk of money Rashee Rice is paying in restitution for everything that he did. On the criminal side, which is what we're dealing with now, there's no settlements. You can't settle in criminal. Criminal is the DA and the state of Texas coming at Rashee Rice. Now, there are defendants. There are innocent victims in this that have, in a sense, a say as to what the plea could be potentially agreed upon. Is this plea acceptable in a way to these victims? But at the end of the day, the DA's got to be okay with allowing Rashee Rice and Teddy Knox and all those involved. The DA's got to be okay with the plea agreement. The punishment has to fit the crime in the eyes of Texas, right? They aren't just going to say, oh, well, the plea helps the defendant and victim because in the plea, there's damages and money that is included that help the victim. So if the plea happens, they get that money. Let's go ahead and accept the plea. And that's when people say settle, but it's not settling. It's a plea agreement. The thing is, it doesn't always work like that. And Texas may not allow him to just get off on these lesser plead out charges and drum them down to tiny misdemeanors. He very much could still potentially face jail time. Chris from Vegas was gifted a membership by Tebow, who came in. Tebow came in hot today after being hung up last night. He gifted 5 memberships right now. Tebow to the freaking moon. Tebow ain't fazed by last night. Tebow says, I am Tebow, and I will do what I want. And what I want to do is gift memberships right now. Tebow, appreciate you. So, SMU suspending Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice is not out of the woods just because we've seen players skate on all kinds of things. Texas law is going to come down hard. Hit and run is a big deal. And what I've been told is that even though there are eight counts, right, 2 of which are very serious. One's assault, obviously with the vehicle, and the other is serious bodily injury, and then there's other 6 counts of bodily injury. But the aggravated assault charge is a serious one, and Texas isn't just going to let it go necessarily. People need to understand that it comes down to the DA, and it's not something where it just goes away because he's an athlete. Not in Texas. This is probably the worst state he could have hit and run in. And of those 8 counts, even though hit and run isn't listed as the count, there's still an issue there from him having a hit and run, abandoning the ship. And while he will avoid any sort of substance in his body, potentially, you know, being counted against him, a DUI of sorts, he can avoid all that because he ran. But Texas is going to come down hard on him running. We'll see what happens. But the fact that SMU suspended Teddy Knox, the driver of the Corvette, cornerback at SMU, because they suspended him, I wonder if the Kansas City Chiefs will be forced, optics-wise, to maybe take action. So just wait for more information on that. But it's getting worse and worse by the day for Rashee Rice. This is not getting better whatsoever. Tom Brady news, we already addressed that. Make sure you hit that news if you haven't already. Let's see here. Drop a comment or question if you've got one on that. Let me see if I can get this Nick Chubb news on screen. Nick Chubb reworked the Browns reworked Nick Chubb's contract. This was an attempt to keep him on the roster. Let me just make something abundantly clear. I don't think Nick Chubb is going to return to form, let alone even remotely close to form. This reconstruction of his contract is kind of a way of saying, hey, we don't want you to go down like that. We don't want to release you because you got injured. We need to lower your contract versus release you. But they did reconstruct the contract so that the amount of money being taken away from him, his demotion and money is potentially injected back into his pocketbook if he can hit certain incentives. So it was kind of like, here's your guaranteed amount of money. Let's move this down 4, 5, 6, whatever the amount was, million, but allow you to get it if you hit certain landmarks and certain numbers. This guy's knee was completely mangled. I don't know how else to explain this other than to show you on my knee model, if I've got my knee model here somewhere. This guy's knee in college, here's your knee. Your knee bends like this, okay? It does not bend this way. That's hyperextending. In college, Nick Chubb hyperextended his knee all the way to a right angle. My model won't even bend that way. I'll break my model if I try and go to an actual 90-degree angle. Look at the patellar tendon. This patellar tendon, you could slide a basketball through this patellar tendon. It's drooping down so much. You tear everything in your knee when you go to a 90-degree angle. In college, there's a photo of him. You could Google it. You could Google the NFL injury as well as the college injury. There's a photo of his knee at a complete 90-degree angle upward. Not bent like this way. And he came back from it. Let's give him credit. This guy came back from it, had an amazing, amazing career. And for that, Nick Chubb goes to the moon just on that alone.
To the moon.
Unbelievable recovery. People said he'd never be the same. tore pretty much every single thing in his knee. Some say everything but his ACL, but I disagree. I believe he tore his ACL, or at least damaged it significantly. There's just not a lot of social media back then, so nothing was like out there. No one cared about the exact details. Everybody called an injury a knee. He has a knee. It could be an ACL, it could be a PCL, it could be a meniscus. He injured a knee. He's got a knee. Yeah, he's coming back from the knee. No one knew anything. It was just very glossed over, very generalized knee. Nobody cared. Nobody cared about the details back then. There was not a lot going on. But this guy came back from it. But he was a young man. And when you tear your ACL in college, not a big deal at all. You're young. You can bounce back. Jonathan Brooks coming back from an ACL tear. We'll get to Jonathan Brooks in a second. This rookie running back, Jonathan Brooks, incoming rookie running back, has the potential to be the number one running back in this class. Had he not tore his ACL, he would have been absolutely the number one running back. He could go to Dallas. He should be fine. Might take him a little bit of time to get, you know, totally right, but he's going to be 100% at some point during the season, or at least by his second year. Not even concerned at all. Young players, 19, 20, 21, 22, tearing an ACL, not a big deal, actually. You can come back and be as good as ever. Not even slightly hampered, you could be as good as ever. You start tearing ACLs above 24, 25, whole different ball game. And when you tear, like Nick Chubb, the complete right angle of his knee going the wrong way, you tear that at 25 plus, there's literally no chance you could really do anything. Nick Chubb would tore his knee the exact same right angle I told you about. Nick Chubb in the NFL last year tore it a complete right angle to the side, though. The right angle wasn't hyperextended this way. It was on the side, completely to the side. Right angle ripped pretty much everything in his knee. It's going to be so hard for him to come back. The amount of swelling he's going to have, the fact that his knee did that again is just absolutely crazy. The fact that this happened to a guy twice, his knees will not be able to endure what a normal knee needs to endure during a season. You know, one shot to it, he's going to be in and out of the lineup. There's, in my opinion, at his age, Ziggy, how old is Nick Chubb?
Nick Chubb is 28 years old and was born on December 27, 1995.
He turns 20, Ziggy off. He turns 29 years old at the end of this season. He enters the age of 28 that Alvin Kamara started to tail off at, right? Aaron Jones, 28 years last year, couldn't stay healthy. Austin Eckler fell off the face of the earth at 28 years old. 28 is the kiss of death. Christian McCaffrey enters his 28-year-old season. He's the only one we can say with pretty good confidence that should likely have another full year left because he's McCaffrey. But at the same time, the risk for McCaffrey to drop off is the same as it was for Eckler walking into last season. And a layman or a Niner fan is going to be like, oh, did you hear what he said? Because their goggles are this thick. But if you reflect back honestly with yourself, Eckler walking into last season, you're looking at the only guy that told you not to draft him. I beat a dead horse on that topic. Constantly, don't draft Eckler. Don't draft Eckler. I got ridiculed for it. Do you know how good he was last year in 2022, Smitty? Walking into 2023, he was an absolute monster. There's no signs of drop-off. Eckler had one of his best seasons he's ever had. He finished the year on fire. Eckler walked into the 2023 season every bit as solid looking as McCaffrey's walking into his 28-year-old season. So let's not pretend McCaffrey's invincible. He's not. He's got about a 70%, 60% chance, if he's lucky, of playing a full season and being an absolute monster. But he could. That's still a good percentage chance. Eckler had probably the same percentage, and he fell off. Aaron Jones had the same percentage. He fell off. 28 years old, it's possible to play one more elite season. You can't even use Derrick Henry. He's an outlier, and it doesn't even open doors or pave ways. It's just a unique situation. There occasionally is a one-off situation. And you could say that McCaffrey becomes that one-off and plays two more elite years. You could say it's possible, but you cannot expect it. And so for Nick Chubb to be entering his 28-year-old season with this damage to his knee, the odds of him being an elite running back this year are, in my opinion, slim to none. The odds of him the next year, because he'll be 20, 9 turning 30 during that season are even worse. Even if he's a year healthier because he's now 30 years old and 28 is the drop-off. Not to mention all that damage to Nick Chubb's knee, like Todd Gurley's knees. One moment, the arthritis is just going to hit and you won't even be able to cut or move. Todd Gurley lost all ability to be explosive and cut, and it happened during that Super Bowl game, and your boy Smitty came in and beat the drum on that one and said, avoid Todd Gurley. I see drop-off. People said I was crazy. He still went 1, 2, 3 overall coming out of that alarm, sounding the alarm, panic in the Super Bowl. They didn't use him in the Super Bowl. What's going on? Everybody ignored the signs, but your boy, I beat an iPad to death and destroyed an iPad saying, no Todd Gurley, no Todd Gurley. Did a live stream, no Todd Gurley live stream 10,000 times over and over, said no Todd Gurley until the live stream ended. Similar to my A-chan, which we'll do another one this year. I don't know who I'm deciding on. Probably Kyron. It'll be Kyron. It'll be Bijan. It might be Jameer. I don't know, but we'll do it. We'll do it live. Nick Chubb, stay away. Stay away. Depends where he goes in a draft. Of course, there's a line in the sand for anybody, but Nick Chubb, no more. That news is one of the last pieces of news. The only other thing that's even out there to talk about and discuss would be, I think, I don't think there's anything else really to discuss. That's all the news for now. Nick Chubb, Tom Brady, Rashee Rice, SMU suspending their cornerback that was driving the Corvette, maybe paving the way for the Chiefs to do the same. I'm going to open up the phone lines briefly. I will be here for another 5 minutes. I have to go to a track and field meet for a little Smitty, so I wanted to breach the 8 p.m. show time frame, but I will be ending the show early. We started early. We've been live for about 40 minutes. Phone lines are open briefly if anybody wants to call in really quickly, but I'm out of here in about T-minus 5 minutes. So hit me if you've got it. Your boy's here to answer the call. I'll be back later tonight for a breaking news show of sorts here on the main channel, and we'll probably go live on the Dynasty channel. We didn't last night, but we need to tonight. So if you want to dial into the Grindhouse phone lines.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
Dial in to the Grindhouse phone line. If you've got a question, I'll be here for T-minus 4 minutes. And I'm going to even put a timer on screen. That way nobody can take advantage of my inability to get off the phone. 3 minutes and 56 seconds, the show will end. Devontae Smith, possible extension on the horizon. Absolutely. And if that happens, you've got a couple things happening right now. JJ, CeeDee Lamb, bigger contracts, and then Devontae Smith. If Devontae Smith gets his contract before Ayuk, it's going to cause problems. If Lamb or JJ get their extension before Ayuk, it will still cause problems because it raises the bar for everybody because it pulls everybody's contract up slightly. Even if Ayuk isn't near JJ or CeeDee, he's still interconnected to the guaranteed money and the tree that creates and trickles down. Track and field run. It's not for me. It's for little Smitty. Brown should get running back Ray Jennings, says Matt O. Chubb, I have been a Browns fan since I was born. My Browns and my Chubby, says I forget who said that, but. Yeah, Wayne says, little Smitty running a 4.240. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see today. Todd Gurley is 29, says Prime. Todd Gurley fell off the face of the earth. He was kind of the start of where 28 was the new 30, you know, and it really has rung true, and it really has become what it is, and you could attribute it to a lot of things. People say all the time, Smitty, how did 28 become the new 30? A lot of things. The NFL is a harder hitting NFL, despite what people will tell you. They're taking away all the rules. You can't tackle guys. It's still a harder hitting. Guys are bigger, stronger, faster. The hitting is harder. I even had one of the Niners defensive greats on to talk about this. And Eric Davis obviously knows ball. And he played back in the day. And he even said and confirmed what my suspicion was. Why are running backs lasting less time now? And I said, here's my guess, and you tell me if I'm correct. And he confirmed it. I said, I think it's because players are starting younger And the one position that it wears on the fastest is the RB because of all the hard hitting. The knees get just smashed to pieces and you get hit by. It's the one position where you're getting hit by 7-8 guys every time you touch the ball. And whereas a wide receiver might run a route and not get hit by anybody, right? He might run 10 routes and not get hit by anybody. A running back, even when he's not carrying the ball, sometimes blocking, getting hit. Running backs are taking massive abuse. And they're also getting hit by bigger, stronger, faster, heavier guys. And they're starting younger. So a running back in Pop Warner is taking harder hits because the game's evolving. And a running back's taking harder hits in Pop Warner, taking harder hits in high school, taking harder hits in college. And over time, that's shrinking his lifespan of being able to be on his game, being as explosive as a young 18, 19-year-old running back that comes in the NFL. And that window for the running back hole to close, the hole closes so quick in the NFL. Once you lose a step, and if you're playing harder, stronger, heavier duty football from a younger age, once you get to 28 instead of 30 now, your window starts shrinking. Your knees start to give out. So it ends up getting a little bit more. I don't know if my phone line's broken, so don't worry about calling in. We're going to end it here. I'll be back tonight. We'll be going live tonight. I'm sorry to make it a short show. 41-minute show is probably the shortest show we've ever done. I'll be back tonight. We will be here on the channel for tonight, another breaking news show. See you all later.